Okay, so hello everyone and welcome back to I Couldn't Be YouTuber, so I decided to make a podcast instead. Technically, this is supposed to be episode 40. I was hoping that I would have like a cleaner milestone, or something in the 40s, maybe like 42, 43, or 50. But yeah, so I'm really quickly gonna go over the title of this, and then we'll talk about some stuff. So this is not probably so just some really quick pre-recording stuff. Just a quick tangent before we begin. I haven't recorded a podcast in a while, in about 2 3 weeks. I'm recording this late March of 2022. So by the time I release, this is going to be in late August, right? So I've definitely accumulated a lot of material, and audio podcasts, and hopefully the quality will continue to get better, even though I am on a headset microphone recording this. Yeah, because keep in mind, recording all of this takes time, takes a lot of effort. I have to like one is find the time and like figure out what I actually want to talk about and like make it engaging, right? Because it's like I can make it very low quality. I can record it on my phone, but obviously finding the time, finding the energy, putting that aside, arranging like a room or something or a quiet place, it is more difficult than I anticipated. And so, although yeah, I'm recording this like 6 months in advance, time goes by really quickly if you don't plan it out well. So I'd rather it's a good problem to have where you have a large stockpile. Keep in mind the stockpile that I'm drawing upon is like 5 to 7 years long of all the media that I've consumed. And so, right, the pace that I consume media is not as fast as I create it, I guess. But that's my worry, that I overcreate and then I underconsume, right? So if I consume more than I create, then I can keep making content. But if I create co more content than I consume, then it's very difficult for me to draw upon, a decent amount of knowledge base. So with that out of the way, we'll talk more a little bit about that. I want to open this up, and start a new season, right? I'm not going to create a new podcast. I'm just going to call this Volume 2, right? Where we're going to be talking about some topics that I haven't engaged in a while. There's a lot of topics I've always wanted to cover, in the aspect of, right, Chinese media, movies, right, movie reviews, various Chinese culture, and Korean content, right? I have made the decision to stay away from Korean content for a while. Things like Webtoons, Kakao Page, Moonpia. We'll talk about a lot of these Korean publishers. I guess this will be an introduction to that as well. As I said before, I'm really coming up with a lot of this on the fly because I don't have a script in front of me. I'm basically saying what comes to mind, but with a sense of organization in mind. Really off-the-cuff stuff. So yeah, so I have a lot of plans. I have a couple of topics I'm really passionate about that I'm trying to get back into. I'm a little bit scared to engage with certain communities of Korean translation, just because I'm not familiar with the culture, and DRM is a lot stronger, for whatever reason, why that's relevant. But yeah, so translation content's difficult. Finding good works is difficult because, as I said, we'll talk a little bit about Korean culture, but it strays the line between light novels. Japanese light novels and Chinese web novels. In terms of length, they're much more Japanese light novel length rather than Chinese web novel length. They're much more focused on art and mature topics. So they're like, I'd say a good transition. They're definitely a step up from just a different style of culture than Japanese light novels. Japanese light novels focuses on more slice of life stuff, more fluffy stuff, whereas Korean web novels focus more on mature topics, but still catering to the same, anime shonen audience. So as I said before, we're gonna be talking about that. I'm more specifically gonna be going into webtoons before I go into web novels because I'm much more familiar with the webtoon sphere than I am with the web novel sphere, although I'm quite weak in both. I've been doing a lot of reading and research into publishing ever since I started. Some of the first works, right? I didn't realize they were Korean, but I was reading a lot of Japanese light novels, right? Like Evil Organization Ad. What was it? The S classes that I raised, S ranks that I raised. Basically, anything having to do with monsters, monster raising, or S classes, or ranking systems. Very much Korean influenced. A lot of the upper aristocratic circles, a lot of those mature themes are written by Korean authors or Korean web novels. At least the best of them are. I have a whole list of titles. We'll quickly go over them. Let's start with webtoons first, though. So webtoons, I've done a lot of reading. I've done a lot of reading for a very long time, even. I think this was even before I started reading, like, web, before I found out, like, the web novel site, because the web novel site is relatively new. 2017 is when that really came online. 2016, when Tencent acquired Cloudberry Holdings, just a Hong Kong holdings company for Asian Chinese literature publishing company. Sorry, a lot of lot. I'll have to cut that later. A lot of capital transactions and things happened that allowed the web novel industry to develop. Some more my more business side is kind of showing. But yeah, so I really want to talk about Webtoons, some of my favorite ones. The Brooklynite, Purple Heart, Calico Jack, I guess that was called Hooky. There are a couple horror ones that were good. Shotgun Boy. Just the transition from Manhwa, HWA, to webtoons, right? A lot of nowadays they're not called manhwa anymore. They're just called webtoons, right? That's just the Korean genre. That style of comic, right? It's almost like Western comic, with manga influences, art style, I guess. What is it? Dungeon Reset. A lot of the dungeon, themes, a lot of the tower themes. RPGs definitely Korean based. The biggest one's Legendary Moonlight Sculptor, which I don't think I did, but I guess it's high time that I started to go into some of more of the back to the roots of Japanese VR MMOs, Korean VR MMOs such as Ark and Legendary Moonlight Sculptor, LMS. There's a lot of classics that I've mentioned in the past before. Emperor of Solo Play, single player only. I know that's Chinese. One Man Army, Ark, right? Ark the sequel. A lot of titles: Master Hunter K, Seal Station Necromancer, Apocalypse Cockroach. Again, that's Apocalypse and that's Chinese. But I'm listing a lot of these older titles. In terms of webtoons, I have a lot. I believe recently Annasuma Noara should have come out. There was a couple of Korean biking ones that I really enjoyed. Free Draw. I really enjoy the mature theme, and I know Koreans very much focused on drama, on romance. I will say there's a lot of good ones. Japanese 20s love stories. There's the Genjiki or whatever, the historical period one that was really, really beautiful. Japanese romance. Japanese romance is interesting, but Korean romance a little bit more picturesque, I guess. Suhu. What is Inso's Law, right? Law of Web Novels. That was a really good title that we'll get into. There's the whole medical sphere, right? Golden Time, thing. We'll get into some of these more mature themes as I bring out some of the web novels and webtoons that I'm interested in. So for the future, there's a couple that I really want to cover. If this was a couple years ago, I definitely want to do Guardians of the Video Game and Rebirth, because I don't know where that is, but it's probably coming to an end. I really want to talk about that, Tales of Oscarzon. I was like reading like Omulet in like, back in like the public libraries and whatnot back then. Bones. I didn't really like Bones, but I liked Amulet, the graphic novel series. Maximum Ride, right? Spiral, Siren. All these older classics that have really influenced my taste into webtoons. And magazines, of course, right? Back in the day when you used to read comics and magazines like Lego Magazine, and various martial arts magazines for whatever reason. But yeah, I have a lot lined up. So the next one I'm going to be talking about, my bread and butter is definitely industry and more mature themes. Anything like Game Market, Hello My 1983, a lot of Chinese ones. I'll try and mention some more Korean ones like Top Management. We'll leave these titles for the next episode as I start to introduce a specific webtoon. So yeah, next up we're going to be talking about A Man's Man. Very interesting. We'll talk about some of the publishers. I'll talk more about the publishers on this specific podcast. What is this? Intro to Volume 2, an introduction to Korean light novels and webtoons, I think is probably going to be this title, up with that on the spot. But yeah, so A Man's Man. I need to find a way to approach Guardians of the Video Game. There's a lot of topics I want to cover. I have no idea how to go over. Annasuma Noara, About Death. That's a really good one. When we go with About Death, we'll talk about like Health, Investor Z, Yoamari Sensei, Rainbow, Shibatori. These historical and very mature, what was it? Kurokochi, right? A lot of these interesting dramas and that specific art style, right? There's the Hong Kong art style, there's the Korean art style, and there's the gritty Japanese art style that is all very similar, right? I think the big names would be like Junji Ito, but I'm not too well acquainted with the Japanese light novel sphere. I'll leave that to a lot of AnnieTubers to cover that in terms of manga. But yeah, I know webtoons, there's a lot of webtoons YouTubers out there, so webtoon tubers. So this not a blue ocean as much as Chinese web novels is my niche. So definitely approaching that from a podcast perspective. But it's about high time. There's getting a lot. We'll talk about a lot of publishers. So there are two large internet Korean tech companies. I'll go more into the Korean culture that I'm familiar with from an outside perspective. Obviously, this is always going to be from an outsider because this is a culture I'm engaging with, but it is not a culture I'm a part of or familiar with. So this is definitely from a Western perspective. So I'm familiar with the big conglomerates like Hyundai, Samsung, and Senxing is what they call it in Chinese, SK Telecom, right, for their various forays and strengths in telecommunications and gaming leagues like League of Legends and like their dominance in League of Legends, right? What was it, Faker and whatnot? Obviously, a lot of influence from that from the King's Avatar, a lot of their robotics programs, and just the culture as a whole from movies, right? Like Parasite and whatnot, and K-dramas. Korea is very similar to Japan. There's a joke that the Chinese are wait, what? The Japanese are suppressed. No, the Chinese are suppressed. The Japanese are depressed. And the Koreans are repressed, or something like that. It just has a lot to do with the various differences in culture. Whereas, the Chinese, they have censorship, so it's a lot of like government oppression. Well, I gotta like choose my words carefully here because I don't. It's difficult when you're engaging with languages and like sympathy because it's like what you see from one perspective is very different from another perspective, and then there's this sense of homelessness. I won't talk about language and identity, not today at least. But Phoenix Hu did a great video on being bilingual and multilingual, right? Being a polyglot, and knowing multiple languages as much as he does, even 10. And there's people who know more, but maybe not at the depth that he does or reads, right? I think he reads like Farsi and Cantonese and Mongolian and such. But yeah, so there's a lot of it in terms of identity and language and like things I want to say. But like I thought it was an interesting joke. I think it was on Quora or something where he's like, yeah, so the Japanese are depressed, the Chinese are suppressed or something, and the Koreans are repressed. So they have their own way of high social pressure due to urban density, being urban. This sensation of the golden spoon or silver spoon is very much huge in Asian culture, with cables, zaibatsus, conglomerates. There was another term. It was not zaibatsus. I was doing research as well. I saw that on Asianometry. If you go through a Wikipedia dive, it was zaibatsu, it was monopolies, it was cables, right? Consortiums in the West. It's what they call it, business alliances. That's basically what Japanese zaibatsus are. In Chinese, it's almost like government supported, kind of Russian communist base. It's not like tied to the government, but there's a lot of like relationships. I guess the term, the blanket term that they use in the West is guanxi, right? Relationships, right? Or who do you know? What connections do you have? We'll talk a lot about business in A Man's Man next one. But yeah, so let's talk about publishers. There are two major internet tech companies, entertainment companies and tech companies, Naver and Kakao, right? Naver has shares in Wattpad, one of the major ones. There's no major publishing deals as far as I'm concerned. A lot of their money is made from advertising and TV licenses and IP licenses, but I'm not 100%. Kakao Page is one I'm a little bit more familiar with. Kakao just bought Wuxia World late 2021 of December. But as I said before, this is almost half a year from when this is going to be released. So, it might be old news by then. But a lot of translation acquisitions. I think I talked about the Chinese acquisition of Gravity Tales in 2016, 2017, when Tencent really started expanding their share into digital literature and media. I talked a little bit about that. I didn't talk too much about the corporate structure because I thought that was boring. The various transitions from Shangda, this China Magic Fantasy Union, CMFU. You'll see that on a lot of the older tags like Godfather of Champions, was Guan Jing. No, not Sun Tzu Wei Wang. Sun Tzu Wei Wang is the winner is king. It's Guan Jing, Jiao Fu, right? A godfather of champions. Guan Jing is champions, right? Winners. And Jiao Fu is godfather, right? So a lot of those ones. I talked a little bit about the Chinese one. I'm not too familiar with Korean history just because thing. But I looked into some of the publishing companies, right? There is Naver and Kakao. These are the two entertainment groups. Kakao running Kakao Pages. I think they might have shares in Tapas because of the branding, but I'm not 100% sure. A lot of digital literature and media. I'm hoping that Asianometry or whoops, I should not be naming the people who have contacted. I'm very lazy to cut, so apologies. There are people I've contacted, YouTubers that I've contacted with covering Asian media and entertainment, right? I guess I can name some of them, but I these are people I haven't contacted, but you know, like people to compare it to, stuff like Company Man, what was it, Polymatter, you know, HAI, Half as Interesting. You know, they all do a lot of Asian business content. I know it's very niche, but I wanted to reach out to some of them and then maybe have them do a video so I can, like, you know, piggyback on their efforts rather than having to create one from scratch, because I do not have the skills necessary to create an in-depth business report or storytelling to the level they do. I have tried. I have done so to the best of my ability, but it is not up to maybe tier of maybe like Nebula or something, or Curiosity Stream. Sorry, not affiliated or advertising in any way. But yeah, so a lot of Korean publishing centered around those two major publishers. If you look at the webtoons, very interesting looking at the back end. A lot of stories are published on Munpia. What was it? There were a lot of publishers as well. Reedy Books is kind of like Bookwalker, Japanese equivalent of Bookwalker. I only know Bookwalker because of Trash Taste. I don't know a lot of Japanese publishers, right? I know the animation studios somewhat, not as much as a lot of AnyTubers do, like Joey, Gaunt, and C-Dog VA would know. But yeah, I'm not 100% familiar with Korean publishers. I because of my extensive like searching on novel updates, I know the publishers somewhat, right? Even Baka updates where they talk about the publishers, which is Golem Factory, KW Books. I have a whole list somewhere, but they do everything from FFF Trash Hero, which used to be translated on Kobato Daisuki-chan, KCDS. As I said before, a lot of the translator sites I frequent, Bato.to, that's more manga though, translators and scantilators. Asian Hobbyist is one I really respect. Chamber, I don't know the licensing structure, but I assume they do to have the translation teams that they do, Active Fan Translations, with, I think they're Golem Library rather than KW Books. But they do a lot of stuff from Carnivorous Hunter, Little Prince of the Ossuary. Very, very interesting titles. That I've never ever, I've brought up in passing, like Omniscient Reader's Viewpoint and whatnot, but I've never really gone super into depth, with the exception of maybe Omniscient Reader's Viewpoint, because I was just starting out. But I really want to engage with more Korean content. I don't watch a lot of K-drama, so I don't know too much about a lot of the stuff like Meteor Garden, you know, a lot of their true crime. I don't watch a lot of Asian TV shows, a lot of Asian crime shows, because I know that's big, right? Asian military and Asian crime is always huge. It's always looked interesting, the detectives, but I don't understand the language, can't really, like, even with the subtitles, it's difficult, right? Even Japanese TV shows as well, even though they have subtitles, it's difficult when you're not interested. So yeah, I know there's a lot. There's a lot of cool detective ones. There's a detective one that I've been trying to find forever about, like, a detective who's kind of like crazy and like sees like these mascots, and I just can't find the special investigation. I know there's like the word special investigation team. It's like SID or something, special investigation department, and then the detective is like really smart and he sees mascots. Unable to find that. There's like three lost ones. I found one, which was the Toyota Estima commercials back in 2012 or 2014, whenever that came out. Maybe it's 2017. There's another Japanese anime. There's a couple books that I can't find, and that's a Korean TV show that I couldn't find. Obviously, because I was like on an airplane or something. But let's not stray too far off of Korean web novels. We'll go a little bit more into the podcast, and I'll try and finish this. I'll try not make this too long and boring. Obviously, my enthusiasm levels aren't to that level yet. You know, I'm trying to accumulate, but I do have that enthusiasm. Yeah, a lot of this came from my tiredness, right? When I'm tired, I tend to think a lot more, because if I'm, like, too energetic, I like, don't find the time or efficiency to actually record podcasts. It's much more tiring than I expect, but it's, like, it's hard to just sit down and just do it, right? I have difficulty sometimes. Things I want to mention and things I don't want to mention, right? We'll talk more about family and health and whatnot in some of the upcoming ones with the mature topics. About Death, Shibatori, Rainbow, a lot of these titles that I've mentioned before, Pluto even, that I'll mention again. There's a blue one. It was like Blue Magic or something. It was like a blue prison. And then some of the survival ones. Okay, yeah. So let's talk about the future of this podcast and where we're going from here. I don't want to set any goals. I want to go as far as possible in terms of podcast, right? So we're done with Korean introductions. We're going to go and move on to the state of the podcast. I maybe should have flipped it, but I kind of wanted to do it, however. So where are we going with this podcast? I always like to make big plans and then fail on them, right? So I think we're aiming for at least 100 episodes. So that's about like 2.5 years worth. If we can get that far, obviously, I want to make it to 1 year. I think we're definitely going to make it to 1 year, but 100 episodes, that's the goal. I don't see an end in sight. I don't know when we'll ever finish, right? As I said before, it's all about, you know, creating and consuming. If the rate at which I consume is more than the rate at which I create, then we'll be in business. I will always have content. If the rate at which I create is more than I consume, then obviously I'm going to have to stop or go on hiatus or take breaks, right? Both are difficult. Both have their own pitfalls. If I go on hiatus, there's no telling that if I ever come back. I've done it a couple times. I've gone on like 4 week breaks and then just record 5 or 6 podcasts all at once. So there is that drawback. But as I said before, like I never understood this point of you make time for yourself or you will find you have to make time for things or you will find that you'll compromise, right? Like you can only do as much as you can afford, right? Which is like I never understood that. But then I realized when you have life responsibilities, right, you will either prioritize your life responsibilities or you will prioritize the things you prioritize, right? Like it will come eventually to a point where I can no longer afford it, and then I will stop podcasting entirely. I think that's like what we've come up to. And I'll talk a little bit. It's probably about time I'm talking about some of my motivations, and I don't want to go too meta. I don't like talking too meta and meta conversations, N+1, N+2. I've used that terminology before. Like meta, instead of saying meta, you just say N+1, N+2. That's basically what that is. I don't know where that's from. I'm pretty sure that's from my conversation Chinese web novel. But I don't like have anything above N+1 conversations. N+1, N+2 conversations are really weird. So I try to keep N+1 conversations to a minimum because, you know, then I have to keep engaging on these upper levels of meta conversation. So yeah, so obviously 100 episodes, we'll talk about like the financial viability and the possible ways to deal with it and the path that I've chosen or set for myself years and years ago when I started YouTube and whatnot. So I always knew that popularity was hard. I didn't realize it was going to be this hard because, you know, you're creating a brand and whatnot, but I never really wanted to make this a business. I know I'm creating my own brand and that's the whole game with entertainment and social media empire. But, you know, reading stuff like, you know, losing money to be a tycoon and signing contracts, it's like, there's on one hand, I want to be popular and thing. But on the other hand, I also wanted to kind of keep it pure, right? Kind of keep it niche, right? I don't want to be like super popular. I want to have like a small community and just interact with people, right? Because I think that was the end goal of thing. Like I only did this because I wanted to talk about things that I wanted to talk about that I couldn't find other people to talk about because it's a specific culture and language that I have difficulty reaching out or finding people, at least in my occupation and in my age group specifically. So very much alone. I think a lot of us are alone in some ways, person of interest and whatnot. But yeah, so I think that was the end goal. After reading Losing Money to Be a Tycoon, I always wanted to keep it pure, right? I wanted to keep it free from money, free from advertising. And I have a lot of inspirations to draw upon, like Agadmator, who doesn't do advertising. It's a lot of donations, Minute Earth. But I also wanted to keep it even more pure that we're just not chasing money, right? Like, because the thing about with Patreons and backers is that it's great to have monetary support, but you're also tied to the fan base, which I guess it's a sense of responsibility. It's like, you know, who wants to listen to a creator who doesn't treat their audience as well, right? They don't keep like their schedule. But I've always wanted to keep this free flowing to the best of my ability. It's not that I don't want responsibility, which is great, and you know, the fame that comes with it. But it just, you know, I always worry sometimes that if I don't reach up to that potential, I will be very regretful, right? I'll be regretful either way. But I'd rather, I'm not sure. It's a conflict of being famous and not wanting the responsibilities that come with it, right? I want my cake and eat it too. I want to be greedy. I want to play both sides where it's like, I want to be popular and not suffer any of the downsides of having to be accountable, right? But that's just not how it works, right? I feel like, you know, influencers and thing should suffer that standard, but I don't know if I'm able to achieve that, right? So it's always conflicted. But yeah, I want to, on one level, I want to get an advertiser because it's like, you know, it affirms that like that's what I'm worth, right? You know, get paid to do what you're doing. But at the same time, it's like I also don't want to treat my audience as a product. I just want to keep it pure, just have a fun conversation. Like, yeah, I guess, in order to keep making content, but as I said, it's a lot of this compromise. Maybe sometimes it's better for something to let it go out than it is to continue. A lot of this philosophy stuff with content creation that I've thought a lot about with copyright, paying the people their proper dues, right? Artists and whatnot, right? Because it's like not everyone is just made of money. You can't just give everyone money. But I always wanted to be a losing tycoon where, I always paid lost money, but I always made more money than I lost, right? Losing money to be a tycoon. I know that's not a great business model, but I always wanted to keep it at least to some level in pursuit of creative ability. And now not all creative ability is focused on creativeness, right? Modern art being a good standard of pursuing naming and branding and whatnot. But some people want that. And I guess at that level, you are exercising creativity, but there's also a lot of commercial aspects to it, right? In order to survive, because I don't think we want a world of starving artists, but I don't think we also want a world where everything's just marketing. I think marketing is good. Marketing makes products look nice. We'll talk more about sales and marketing in A Man's Man, hopefully. Right? Because I remember watching a Yogscast TTT, which is like, this is what a world without marketing would look like. It's all ugly, it's all drab, it's all functional, and there's no aesthetic appeal, right? Like, books and their covers is all marketing. And I think we want to live in a beautiful world. We don't want to live in a world where it's all controlled, but we want to live in a world where it's not all just super boring or devoid of art, right? So there is some level of balance to that. I don't want to push the Tao or Taoist philosophy too much, but to a certain extent, yeah. So yeah, podcast wise, that's like my current thoughts, right? Let's make it episode 100. I'm up opening up some new avenues. I think I'll hold off on movies for now. I want to keep it semi-focused before, like, as I said, I want to establish a strong foundation before to build upon, for the next stage or the next floors. Because if the foundations aren't solid, then the next episodes I record will always be on shaky grounds, right? Because I don't have that podcasting ability, right? So this is definitely honing in, and then, right, the conversations that you don't have today may be conversations that you may rethink about or reapproach from tomorrow. There are different stages of reading, right? When you first read, when you finish reading, right? I've definitely practiced the once you've read all of the web novel, then talking about it, and then maybe later I'll go back and only read a couple chapters and then talk about it. So that was like a post commentary and pre commentary of a web novel or a webtoon. So definitely approaching this from a lot of angles, I guess, from a professional perspective, and just finding my footing. And then obviously I'm hoping that some of these podcasts, I clip my podcasts and animate or just add some moving pictures or just graphics to it so that turn that into videos. I know maybe it's not like the best path to go. You got to do it all at once. But my editing skills are poor. My learning skills are very weak. I guess theoretically I can afford it, but it's difficult. And I don't really have the monetary means to like pay for it or just, I guess not all my content is interesting. So we're all trying to carve our own path. A lot of business stuff, and then just finding your own niche and whatever. But yeah, I never really thought of doing podcasts or entertainment as a job. I don't think anyone does. I don't think it's a good backup plan because there's only a limited amount of time popular and fame could push you, right? I always like slow fame where you slowly accumulate rather than being a shooting star. But as I said before, let's keep a lot of this meta conversation out. We'll talk more about the future of the podcast rather than talking about the past and some of the foundations that I've, or our rules or guidelines that I've set for myself. But yeah, I've always wanted to talk about that, but I always felt if I talked about that at the beginning, it was too early. And I guess to mention that is good, but you also have to continue to do something. And yeah, I don't want to go too much into this like circle jerk and like motivational stuff, right? There's a lot we'll talk about life advice as well. There's so much life advice out there. Everyone could give you life advice because everyone has different life experiences. That's why life advice is so cheap, depending on where you get it from, right? Some people you have to pay a lot of money for like coaching and life advice, and some people they'll give it for free, but no one wants to listen, right? Like, because I guess like the life advice of a homeless person isn't as useful as the life advice of a wealthy person or a military person, right? Everyone takes life advice from somewhere, whether it's from life itself or from the people around them. So, we'll talk about inequality hopefully in a man's man. I know I'm overpromising a lot of stuff, so I'll try my best to fulfill those promises or statements that I'm making. But not much to say. The conversation and enthusiasm definitely died down. Sorry for not having more enthusiasm. This is much more calm. It's not as organized, I will say. Maybe I re-record this and we'll be organized, or maybe this is just one take, right? Because I can only focus so much on one before I just lo completely lose passion and motivation for a specific recording. But I think that's it's an important like when I first made videos, I think I recorded like audio like 15, 20 times in the span of a week. Like I spent like 20 hours for like 2 hours of audio. It was a monster project. Took me a year because I could afford that and had the time to do that, and I poured all that time and energy. It was fun. It was painful. To some level, it was masochism, but it wasn't like willing masochism, like that I willingly enjoyed it. But like looking back, I guess it was fun. It's definitely a struggle. Would not want to do that again if I could avoid it, but it seems unlikely. Was it about just doing things just barely out of reach? Anyway, I don't give too much life advice. There's too much life advice out there. It's also just very cheap. That's what commencement speeches are for. That's what you read books for. That's kind of what you find your own thing. I just want to provide great commentary and enthusiasm for web novels and webtoons, Asian culture and digital media as a whole, and just make my mark and actually do something relevant, right? That's why I created a podcast. So that's about it. I'm gonna wrap this up for, the future of the podcast, starting a new volume two. One last thing. I plan to do cover art. I don't want to commission it. I always want to keep it passion. I want to keep part of myself in it. So I'm gonna pull out the Microsoft Paint, or Photoshop, whatever. Maybe I do an unsplash and I draw over it. I don't know, because one is I can do like I can create a graphic with like Canva or like Unsplash or Photoshop, right? Because I have that ability. Or I can do my own graphic myself. I'm not a very creative person. But I do want to create new cover art because it's second volume. I think I might like I may even like wait 2 weeks to record just to make the cover art, to make sure I do the cover art before I move on, because some things you have to like force yourself to do in order to continue, and then sometimes you just have to create content. But yeah, I do want to make new cover art. I'm gonna save the old one. I might start a new podcast, but I really want to just create a second season. I'm tempted because I might make another account because for whatever reason the podcast host oh, that's a lot of storage though. I think I'm up to like what, maybe a good 15 gigabytes worth of audio files. Oh, whatever, it's pretty large though. So if I download it, I do have backups, which is great, but still, it's just finding a place to host it and whatnot for free. There's Anchor and Castbox. I need to take a look at Anchor, by the way. Asianometry uses that. So it's pretty cool. Not much more, but yeah, just cover art. And that's really about it. I did a really quick introduction onto my knowledge of Korean web novels and publishers. There's a couple of school, like J. Hyesun, and whatever. There's just sites that exist that are in my spreadsheet somewhere of like, sources and files. But I'll have to look through them and do more research. But I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I'll have much more enthusiasm for the future podcasts. As I said before, it's been a couple of weeks, I think like 4 weeks or something, maybe shorter. My memory's not very good, but yeah, we'll get into that. And yeah, so that's about it for I couldn't be YouTuber, so I had to make a podcast instead. Episode number 40. We're gonna be starting off new volume or new is it new volume? New series. Oh, new season, right. Because it's this because podcasts and videos are like channels, and then each channel you have a season. So yeah, season two or volume two. Sorry, I'm trying to keep this more TV show like. I don't think a lot of people realize why on YouTube they're called channels and subscriptions and whatnot. It's very much based on TV, right? You have TV channels, you have various seasons on a television show. That's really translating to streaming culture, or the media content that we use, right? Like YouTube, Vimeo, Dailymotion, Bilibili, whatever sites they use, Youku. As you can tell, much more. But there's a lot. I've taken a look into New Zealand. I've taken a much more global approach with England content, Australian content. May talk about language. It's very interesting talking about language. And how little that I guess Western media is familiar with different cultures. Let's not go to middle. We'll stop here. That's about it for I Could Future Pretend to Make a Podcast Instead, episode 40. Future of the Channel, season 2, introduction to Korean, or whatever I decide to title this. I think I'm too lazy to re-record this, but I may decide to re-record this twice, a couple more times, just to refine this audio. But yeah, we'll stop here.